Yeah, if I could have your attention, I think if everybody's through, we'll get started here. And first, I'd just like to welcome all of you to our first gathering of Student Council for the 86-87 year. I'm glad to see the terrific attendance which is here, and that's something I'll talk about later, which we need to stress. And I think I got to meet most all of you. If I didn't, I certainly look forward to it, but it's been a pleasure. First off, I would just like to discuss a little bit about what Student Council means to me and its role as I see it in the university. Some of you who weren't on council last year or haven't been too involved with it may not be too familiar with its function or role. To be perfectly honest, I really wasn't either before I got involved. But basically, we're a student advisory group, and we act as a liaison between students and administrators, both the board and other administrators. And we consider and act upon various recommendations regarding such areas as student academic rights and responsibilities, judicial procedures, act amendments or revisions of the academic freedom for students at Michigan State University, and any other matters which are brought before us by the president of the university, the provost, or the vice president for student affairs, which is just to the right of me, Dr. Turner here, his office. And you've got the gold packet here, which is your student council kit, which you'll find important to hang on to this year. And if you look at the green book, which says Spartan Life, a lot of the areas which I just talked about are in the Academic Freedom Report, which is on page 53. Now, I urge all of you to read this particular chapter, this report, but pay special attention if you've got a pen or something, mark these articles. There's a list of articles on the page. Article 1, Article 2, Article 4, and Article 9. Those are areas, if you read through those and understand them, I think it'll help you with your notion of what Student Council is about and what areas we can act upon. But again, I would recommend you do read the entire chapter as well. And what it boils down to is we are a forum for disseminating and exchanging ideas and information between students and the administration. That's what we do, and we try to focus on the academic area as much as we can. But as for some of the topics which are suitable for us to address or that we have addressed in the past or will address in the future, let me just list a few so you've got an idea. One would be, which is a shame, I wish we could have acted upon it, was the tuition hike which went into effect this summer. If Student Council, if we had gotten together and taken a stand on that, whether we supported it or didn't, one that we all agreed on, it would have been ideal. There's student information system, which is going to computerize registration and computerize a lot of the student records, is going into effect over the next few years. We should have a role in that, or at least addressing it. There was a problem with foreign TAs. That certainly is an academic issue, and that's since been handled and is being worked on. But that would be a good issue. And then I've heard talk about they're changing from perhaps a quarter system to a semester system. That's something that would affect all of us, and as students, we certainly should have some input as to how that is going to be put into effect, if at all. But let me talk about our relationship to other student groups. Of course, we're rather unique in the sense that we are the only student group on campus that is both represented by undergraduate and graduate students. We're much closer. Much more closely tied to COGS, which is the Council of Graduate Students, because we've got six people who sit in on Student Council. A few of them are here right now. That's Dan Selke is the president of COGS, and he sat on council for the last few years, and he's since left us. we all miss Dan, but he's here today for a free lunch, so we can count on that. And we are, I'm going to stay in close contact with Dan. He's offered to give us help. He's about it. He's the veteran around here, and he's going to work with me and give me ideas and suggestions, and hopefully that'll make our job a little bit easier. As far as ASMSU, we're not as closely associated with them, but I've talked to their executive director, which is Maria Lattice, and the chairman of their student board, John Sove, and we'd like to work much more closely together. I think if all the student groups could, more or less work together on important issues, our voice would be much more powerful. But we've talked about the idea of exchanging, having a member from ASMSU sit in on our meetings and vice versa. So, but I'll be working on that in the future. And finally, and maybe most important, I want to stress student involvement. It's just imperative, and we're not asking all that much of you on student council, and you've all made an obligation, and you're expected to fulfill it. And if you can't, I wish you could. You should say right now, you're going to be required to attend all student council meetings unless you have a good excuse. And if you do, can't make one, if you are going to be absent, please contact Joy, who's she's the secretary in the Secretary for Academic Governance office, and just let her know so that we're aware of your absence. But you're required to attend student council meetings and academic council meetings. Approximately twice a month is what it's going to boil down to. I think it can be very rewarding, productive, and fun if we all work together and become involved. I certainly look forward to it. And I would urge all of you to become as informed as you possibly can on student issues. And this would mean so those of you who are on committees, university committees, attend those. And I'd like to talk with those people and have you prepare a report that we can submit to the council before or during a meeting. Read the state news for heaven's sake. You really should read it every day to stay in just with the most basic issues or find out what's going on campus, even though. I don't know if there's a state news report in here now. Sometimes it's not the most accurate. Dan, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I don't know if you've done it, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just want to welcome you all to student council, even though I'm not on the council this year. COGS is very concerned. We've always had a strong and good relationship with student council, and we'd like that to continue. COGS has always gone through several informal sessions for student council, and we'd like to continue to do that. So I just want to welcome you all here, and I just want you to think of us as a resource. Graduate students have been around. You've been through the undergraduate program, if not at this university or at others, and please consider us as a good resource. This is going to be a very exciting year. We have a new provost here at the university, and as John had mentioned earlier, there's going to be issues coming up, and that's, these are academic issues, and that's what we're looking for, the academics. And if there's anything I can do or that costs can do, please don't hesitate to use us, and I just look forward to working with you all.
Thanks, Dan. And then of just be in touch with your fellow students, talk to them, find out if they have any problems or so forth, or professors, just make yourself in touch with student needs and issues that are around us. But that's about all I have to say right now. I don't want to keep it as brief as I can. And we've got some prominent people here who are going to speak, the first being Dr. Lee June, who is the steering committee chairperson, and he's going to take over from here. Dr. June.
Thank you, John. I'd also like to welcome you to the 1986-87 academic year, and would also agree with John in terms of his appeal to you for your active involvement in the academic governance process. My observations have shown that student involvement and participation is critical, and I've seen decisions, better decisions made as a result of your input, and also decisions change in terms of direction as a result of your bringing your information and other kinds of things into the governance process. So I would just appeal to you also that you be actively involved, and I think the governance process and some of the academic issues that will be discussed this year are critical ones to the university, and we need your involvement. On your agenda, I was supposed to make a few comments primarily in regard to the functions and the structure of some of the various committees and councils within the governance process. And Professor Thurman will get more into the operational procedure. I won't go in much detail, but I would at this point encourage you strongly to read the bylaws for academic governance. I think you have those in your packet. If you don't, make sure you have them, because the whole structure of the academic governance process is explained in that particular document. And what I'll say first of all is I am the chairperson of the steering committee of the Academic Council. I've been on the steering committee now for 3 years. This is my second year chairing that particular committee. And I'll briefly explain that and then talk briefly about the other committees and councils. The steering committee of Academic Council is composed of 7 persons. 2 students, one who is an undergraduate student and one who is a graduate student. And I think both of those persons are here, Chad and Neva, as well as 5 faculty members who are elected in a general faculty election by the university. So there are those 7 persons plus the provost plus someone from the provost's office, usually Dr. Simon and Professor Thurman. And what we do is that we are the agency in the university through which individual students or faculty groups or student groups or organizations can put issues within the governance system. So if there are issues that need attention within the academic governance system, the steering committee is the agency through which that particular thing is done. And then beyond that, our role then is to look at those issues and refer them to the appropriate body within the governance system. And that could be one of the 9 standing committees, which I'll briefly discuss, or some other format within the university. So that's the primary function of the steering committee. And when you attend the Academic Council meeting next week, next Tuesday on the 30th, you'll get a feel for how all of this fits together. When there is an Academic Council meeting, that brings together the various councils, the Faculty Council, and I'll say a few things about that in a minute, the Faculty Council, the Student Council, and the Appointed Council all come together as one body in what we call the Academic Council, and that's what's meeting next Tuesday afternoon. And the Academic Council itself considers various matters that are put on the agenda by the steering committee or issues that the president or the provost feel are germane to be discussed by the full body consisting of students, faculty, and the various deans. So that's the Academic Council. Then each of those 3 councils that I just mentioned meet separately. The Faculty Council meets separately, and we generally meet once a month. The Student Council, and you will be meeting separately, and the Appointed Council, which is consisting of the deans, the deans, 2 directors, and 9 ex officio people. They also serve, but that group meets separately, the Dean Council, the Faculty Council, as I indicated, and the Student Council. And then we all come together as the Academic Council. The Faculty Council itself, there are certain matters that the bylaws stipulate that ought to be considered first by the Faculty Council. If we get into issues like faculty grievance issues, faculty rights and responsibilities, and other matters that are of faculty, then that particular council, because of the bylaw stipulation, discuss those issues, and once some action is taken, generally it's then referred to the Academic Council, and then you get a second shot at some of those kinds of things. And then same thing is true for the Student Council, as it was outlined. There are certain issues you have to discuss first before they move on up through the system. So the bylaws stipulate what those various groups do and how they relate together. In addition to that, there are the 9 standing committees. So when matters come before the steering committee, we will either refer them, depending upon how much action has been taken, on to the Faculty Council, to the Academic Council, or we might refer them to one of the 9 standing committees within the Academic Council. And if you will note the bylaws, 8 of the 9 standing committees have student representatives. So this is another opportunity for students to be involved. The various committees are not a part of the Academic Council or the Faculty Council. The chairpersons of those committees sit with those two bodies. But certain matters are discussed either in the University Committee on Academic Environment, and there are student members. Last year, for instance, they talked about the pornography issue on campus. They are now considering things like the smoking ban. They also advise non-academic administrators on a variety of matters in terms of buildings, grounds, safety kinds of matters, and matters of that sort, traffic kinds of consideration. So there's the chance for students and faculty to assemble, to debate issues, and then to refer them through the system. There's the University Committee on Academic Governance, also have student and faculty members. And its basic purpose is to look at bylaw issues. And another critical role that it plays is to prepare slates for various committees within the university. There's the University Committee on Academic Policy, which look at various kinds of policy matters, whether they are grading, instruction, or whatever the case might be. The University Committee on Curriculum, the Policy Committee, and the Curriculum Committee also have student members. Curriculum self-explanatory, it looks at curriculum changes and those kinds of things. So when courses are formulated, changed, programs are put together, they go through that committee, discuss, and then after that, then they're referred on to the Academic Council, which then has the final say before it goes on to the provost and up to the president and to the Board of Trustees if necessary. The University Committee on Faculty Affairs is the only one of the 9 committees that do not have a student representative, and that's because of the bylaw provision and the nature of the kinds of issues that they discuss. They discuss things like the grievance procedures, retirement policy, salaries, budgets, and those kinds of things. The University Committee on Faculty Tenure has student participation, and it deals with matters of tenure rules, the interpretation of tenure rules, the tenure policy, and any changes that might take place there. Also, if there's a situation where a faculty member was recommended for dismissal, then that particular body serves as a body that listened to that situation and make recommendation. Then there are 3 other committees quickly, the University Committee on General Education, which oversees the general education area, and probably Professor Hamilton will say some things about that. The University Graduate Council, which deals also with curricular matters as it relate to graduate school and matters of that sort. There's the University Committee on Student Affairs, which serves as, gives advice to the Vice President for Student Affairs, who is sitting next to me, and also look at various kinds of rules and regulation, and was involved in the Academic for Freedom for Students document. And they also involve if there's a need for changes. In a brief way, that's kind of an overview of the academic governance process. I could go into more detail, but as I indicated, as you come next week and begin to sit with the council and begin to see all of us come together and read your bylaws, I think all of this will fit together. And if it doesn't, you can speak to Dan Selke, who is a veteran. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. He knows the process well. But if there are other things that I can answer during the year, I will be working with John, and I will be seeing you at the various council meetings. And if there's anything that I can do as the chairperson of the steering committee or any of the steering committee members, which include the 2 students and the 5 faculty members, feel free to call upon us. And I just wish you the best, and we'll work with you in any way that I can. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. June. Just to reiterate briefly, these standing committees, we're going to, later on in the meeting, we need to choose 4 student council members for various committees, 1 for each one, I think 2 on one particular committee. But it's an ideal way to get involved in actually making policy that affects all the students and or the faculty at Michigan State University. And I was on the university committee for general education, and I went to a meeting last Tuesday. And you're there and you're discussing with faculty members, and the chairperson's there. And if whoever you, we've already got quite a few on the committees as it is, and you can go in there, become informed. And if you talk to us or myself, and you feel strongly about something, you've got a great idea, whatever, you can lend the full support of student council to it. And in the meeting, and say, well, I feel it should be this way, and student council supports this so-and-so. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Just one brief comment.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't think I mentioned that, but also at the academic council, I'm sure Professor Thurman will go further. The president and the provost also sits there. I think I neglected to mention that. And that's also an opportunity to observe the president and even at times to ask questions. So they are also a part of the academic council.
Yeah, it's exciting. But now we'd like to hear from Dr. Moses Turner.
Who's I got a quiz. I want everybody to explain all the councils that Dr. Green talked about.
Dr. Turner's vice president for student affairs.
I think that's marvelous, and I hope you took all that in. If you did, then I could probably get by without saying anything. I want to congratulate each of you for being selected to be on the council, and it truly is an opportunity to be representative of the students, your constituents, and to participate in a very extraordinary way. Michigan State University is an institution that has about it tremendous diversity. It has about it an awful lot of exciting things, programs, interests, people from various backgrounds, a whole array of things. And trying to govern this place is not an easy thing to do. And some time ago, somebody decided that it really ought to have good representation from all of the constituents of the university community. That includes students, but as well as the faculty. In the decisions that must be made that truly affects the students primarily. We're talking about the academic programs, we're talking about the quality of those programs, we're talking about the support for those programs, and we're talking about the process by which we go through in order to assure that the students who come here get the very best. And so, as students who have an opportunity to participate in that process, it is truly an extraordinary kind of experience to have. It requires a lot from you, obviously. I mean, you have to be on top of it. There are days when you will sit, as many do, as you wonder, you know, why is this professor talking about that for so long? And does it really mean that much to me when I could be doing something else? And then it really gets, it transfers itself over to members of the council. And after a bit, students will become very, very interested in an issue, particularly concerned that something meets a particular desire that they have for themselves or for a constituent body. And they, too, will come to the meetings very well prepared and will go about carrying out the business of the student council in very much the same way as the academic council. And what I'm trying to say about that is that you learn something about the process of taking care of business, of governing a university, and that same kind of experience will be most helpful in a range of other things that people will find themselves involved in. It's been my experience that most people, or many of the people who are involved on student council, also people involved in a lot of other things. But the experience of observing how this thing moves along, I mean, it's really extraordinary. It is almost like going to, how many of you gone to a state house or to the U.S. Congress to watch them do business? Anybody, you've done that probably, yeah. Well, the first time I went to see that, I couldn't imagine how they call that business. I mean, they were going through things and people tend not to be paying attention. It was really an interesting thing to observe, but they had their own language about how it went about. Well, this is in a way sort of similar to that. And you learn about that. And I have said to many students that while your input is really very important, and it is desired, and it is really required, but what you get from these experiences, really more than anything else, is an experience which you can transfer to your future and how you choose to go about doing things that are important to you in the future. And it's an extraordinary experience, as I said before, for students to have a chance to do that. Michigan State University, being a land-grant institution, believes and expresses it often in various ways that it is very important that everybody have access. So again, the sense of involving students in this important process is another manifestation of that sense of access, not only to the university, but to all of those things which tends to make the institution work well. I have the privilege of sitting with the council and observing the way in which it goes about doing its business. And I have seen over the last years, over the last four or five years, a gradual improvement, I would say, in the way in which students conduct their business as student council members. You see, prior to 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, the council was chaired by the president. And the vice president for student affairs was involved, and the provost was involved in the proceeding. And so, not unlike the three of us sitting up here today, the students were sort of out there, and they sort of helped with the agenda, almost construct the agenda, really, and sort of led the thing along. What has happened since then that I've been very proud about is that it's become a student council. That is, there's a student chairperson, and students are involved in setting the agenda. And students really do, in fact, kind of decide that. And then my role and others in the administration is more of advice and to try and be helpful to assure that you maximize and get from it the very best that you want to get and that you can input in ways that will be effective. So I think that's good, and I think each year that sense of, really, if you will, the sense of ownership for student council is realized and is practiced more and more by the students who are involved. And that's been a real plus, I think. So I would encourage you to take full advantage of what the student council means, recognizing that the sense of knowing it all initially is not there, but other people don't know either. Ask questions. That's quite all right to do. But do your homework as well. Challenge things when they don't feel right or seem to be right to you, and that will be quite appropriate. That's the sense of what it ought to be. It ought to be deliberative and so on. One of the things that I think helps with that is this particular thing. You get to at least see each other. You won't talk with each other very much, but you get to see each other before you sit down in the first full council meeting. I think that's helpful. And now each of you will be receiving from me an invitation to a student leader reception, which will be on October the 9th. You'll be receiving that invitation very shortly. And this was where you'll have an opportunity not only to meet with other student council members, but with other student leaders from ASMSU, as well as from the Residence Hall Association, major governing groups, and people like that. The idea is to try and help you identify with other students who are very involved in the governance of the institution in one way or another, and who tend to have the responsibility to represent other students' views, so that there's a network which I think is fully activated, can be very helpful for your getting information, for your sharing about various things, and then for your ability to contribute in a way that can be very effective in this whole business of the governance of the university. You're not the same as a student government in that sense. Your role, I don't want to say it's more lofty, but I think what I really am trying to say is that your role is mandated through the same bylaws which governs, which the board has set aside, that governs the institution, and that the affairs of the university, the responsibility for which lies with the academic governance, within the academic governance structure, is inclusive of students, and you are the students who that means. But to take nothing from the other groups, but the student government is a different body. It is elected in a different way, operates in a different way, does not have the mandated kinds of interactions with faculty or the opportunity, really, as you do, does not have the sort of the sense of mandate to be involved. I mean, they can choose to do or choose not to do. If it didn't exist, it would be a choice that the students could make, and it could be. But this body mandates a student council. You must be involved. You need to have it requires that one of the components, one of the councils, as Dr. June pointed out, is a student council. And if it were not there, then it could not function. The council would not be. So it's a very important role, but you have opportunity to interact in a very special way. And because of that, I think it also suggests how you go about your business as a student council, because you must protect those relationships with faculty, with administrators, and with others in order to do your job best. But in doing so, you also have the opportunity to assure that they have your firsthand view of what you believe is important from the student's perspective. And not only that, it is mandated that they hear it. I mean, it is a different set of an arrangement. Well, I think that with John, what John has had to say to you about the various particular activities, I don't need to go into that. But I do want to again welcome you and encourage you to take full advantage of this opportunity. Be almost selfish about it and what it can do for you, but also what you can do for the university with this opportunity to be involved. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Turner. Now, Dr. James Hamilton, who is the Assistant Provost for Undergraduate Education, you'd like to say a few things.
To be at my brief welcome, and one of the things that I'm supposed to do is to identify some of the issues that might be coming before the governing system. That's a difficult thing to do. It's often difficult to predict what will come before the governing system. What I will do instead is to share with you some of the issues that I think are around the campus today, and they may or they may not make it to the governing system for action, but they certainly are things about which you will hear. You will be receiving information in the course of the year, or that you may see and hear about independent of council, and something about which you might want to be informed. My role and relationship is to meet with the council as a representative of the provost office in all of your meetings, and I will try to make all of them. And being there, I also see myself, I would note, as a resource. And I just mentioned that to you, John, that to the degree that I can provide any information or help clarify any of the issues that the council is discussing, that our office stands ready to do that in whatever way that we can. Now, what are some of the issues that are around? There won't be any particular order to some of these. I always talk about recruitment and retention issues. I think that those will be around again, and you'll hear about them occasionally from me in the council. Recruitment, because we've been booming in enrollments. We had the largest enrollment applicant pool in history last year, and that's likely to engender some discussions of academic admissions requirements. There are some who might believe, for example, that we might have an opportunity here to raise our admission standards significantly. I don't think that we will do that, but there we probably will revisit the issue somewhere during the year in one committee or another of admissions requirements. You don't make abrupt changes in admissions requirements, so I don't think we will be doing that. But nonetheless, that issue is likely to arise. Retention of students is something with which we're always concerned as well. We are not a revolving door institution. Students enroll here, and we're proud that we have high retention rates. We are aware, however, that there are lower retention rates for some groups, and these issues are likely to be discussed in the campus this year, particularly with the Hispanic community, but also with the Black community, Native American community. With minority students, we have had lower retention rates. Though they're quite good, they're not as strong as they are for the majority population. I think you may hear some things about this issue during the year. On the area of budget, the university continues to have fiscal concerns. This council showed an interest in these matters last year and discussed the topic with the president. I think that budget and fiscal issues will continue to be important to the university and something with which you may wish to concern yourselves to better inform yourselves during the year. And not unrelated to that are fund development activities that are in the wind for the university. Again, another topic about which you will probably hear during the year and on which you might wish to inform yourselves. Within the governance system, one of the committees that I work closely with is the University Committee on General Education. You're all cognizant of our general education program, and those of you who are new, let me mention that last year, Council approved a 1986 general education policy. It is essentially the same as the 1980, the former policy, with one change. We introduced a new substitution section. And this year, the General Education Committee and the rest of the university will be implementing that substitution rule. It will not have effect on students until the fall of 1988 fully. But you will hear more about that during the year and reports from your representatives to the University Committee on General Education. The standards issue will arise again this year, not from the perspective of admissions, but from the perspective of academic progress. We have had this past year a subcommittee of the University Committee on Academic Policy and the Undergraduate Assistant Dean's Group, a group with which I meet regularly. In fact, I guess I chair the group. But that subcommittee has been looking at MAPS, the Minimum Academic Progress Scale, with a view to making some modifications in the academic progress criteria. That's something that I'll probably be bringing to this group to look at and give us comments on in the course of the year. But it will also evolve through the governance system. And I would say that that's an issue early on that one might want to become more informed about, because it would be probably a significant change were we to modify that policy. You've heard about the training of an orientation of foreign teaching assistants this past year. I will provide a report to you on what we did this fall, prior to fall term, in putting together an orientation and training program for new foreign teaching assistants. I won't go into that now, but we have done it. And that's raised a number of other questions and issues that we'll probably be trying to grapple with, relating not only to foreign teaching assistants, but to teaching assistants generally, and what the university might need to do at the university level in that regard. I would say briefly, though, that this was a very good experience, providing that program for the 65 or so foreign teaching assistants that we worked with. It went extremely well. It was a valuable experience. And it suggests that we can do some other things. And I think that will be coming up in several contexts, including the Graduate Council will probably be talking about the topic. I think that, I want to make sure I'm not missing anything else. Student information system, reference has been made to that, and you will no doubt be hearing some more about that soon. We have not, I don't believe, you never know if things change from day to day, signed the contract, but I think that's about to happen. And as soon as that does happen, the university will be moving forward to implement the student information system. And that's something as well on which, as John has indicated, you would want to be kept very informed. I think those are some of the issues and topics that I see around the campus that are likely to arise as and things with which you might want to be concerned during the year. And there are no doubt others that I haven't mentioned, but I do think these perhaps are some of the key ones, at least from my perspective, in the undergraduate area. I'd like to welcome all of you again. I think it is quite a responsibility you have. I was sitting here listening to everyone talk, and I was recollecting in 1969, Dr. Thurman, I believe it was, or 70, when the council was debating the formation of this council. That is, debating having students participate. And I had the good fortune to sit with Professor McKee. That was a famous McKee report, I think, that led to this. And we met in the faculty down at Kellogg Biological Station, in fact, and had a retreat there in 69. So this was something that didn't come along easily, student participation in governance. It's not something that happens in every university setting. It is something that happens at Michigan State. It deliberately occurs because of deliberate involvement of students and faculty earlier on to make sure that it occurred. So I hope that you all actively participate during the year, give it as much time as you can. It's a good, excellent learning experience, as each of the previous speakers have noted, but also your contributions to the process are valued. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Hamilton. And now we're going to hear from Dr. Thurman, who is the Secretary for Academic Governance.
Thank you, John. Ladies and gentlemen, Professor June challenged and or charged you quite appropriately to familiarize yourself with the university bylaws of academic governance. Unfortunately, you do not have in your packet those bylaws because they are momentarily out of print. They are in the process of being redone, and you will have them in your possession. But by way of explanation to Lee and to each of you, that is the reason that they are not present. I would only affirm Professor June's suggestion that you look attentively and accurately at those bylaws once they are in your possession. You do have in your own packet, however, the code of operations for this council. At a convenient moment, I would suggest that you look at those with equal care and condition yourselves to operate in specific and particular consideration of that which is in black and white. If you don't like it, then I urge you to consider change. But in the interim, you are obliged, I would remind you, to function in that context. There's one obvious difficulty of appearing last on a program. This afternoon's difficulty is that the magic hour has arrived, at which point in time many of us are to be elsewhere, so I will be very brief. I would suggest for you that if you have energy enough to walk the three flights to 308 in Olds Hall, or if you're willing to gamble that the elevator is working, take that. But once you reach the third floor and find 308, you will find therein, assuming that I might be there also, but most specifically and constantly, you will find two of the most attractive, pleasant, and most competent secretaries that are on this university payroll. They will be of invaluable assistance to you to the extent that you are interested in finding answers for questions that you may be perplexed or plagued about. To the extent that I can be of assistance, I invite you to come on the inside of the greenery and talk with me. One specific and very brief comment I would like to leave with you, ladies and gentlemen, and that is that it is important, I think, for you to be challenged. Not that you haven't been thus far, I think, starting with John's very appropriate opening remarks. But I would like to add to that latent challenge my own suggestion that there is an extreme and important necessity that you retain, you sustain, you amplify, and make more solid what is presumably your commitment that began today with your appearance at this luncheon. Those old timers, and that includes certainly Mr. Selke, who apparently is never going to go away, both the food and the latent accommodations in the Gold Room are far better than those which normally were your entree at the International Center. But we'll try to continue this, at least as long as Dan's around, okay? The point I want to make most clearly, if I can, and I would like to have you think about it, is in addition to committing yourselves to accept the obvious challenge that is here for you, to become an operative participant in the process of academic governance at Michigan State University, is at the same time to maybe do a little additional work at a convenient moment that you will then be able to sustain to familiarize yourself with Robert's Rules of Order, which are the governing base for our governance councils. In this little pamphlet that is in your packet, the meeting, what is it? The meeting comes to order or something like that. On page 20. You don't need to take time now to read, but there is a very helpful summary set of motions here that you can help others to expedite the process of proceeding. Professor June and others have referred to the fact that we will convene initially next Tuesday in Academic Council. I have every suspicion that as the year goes on, you're going to discover that there are those who don't know any more about parliamentary procedure than you do. The important thing is that you familiarize yourself with the possibility of helping to guide, direct, and make more swift and more accurate the potential functioning of the councils of which you are a member. You have been, I think, my friends, sufficiently welcomed. Let me say only ditto, or with perhaps a fervent amen, and restate my invitation to you to become an active participant in the councils to which you have access. John, I think you have particular business that hopefully you can expedite now and others can proceed.
Yes, well, we just have a few items of business to take care of. One is, it's on your agenda, selection of a vice chairperson, which is just like it sounds. Let me just outline some of the responsibilities of a vice chairperson. They will sit on the Student Council Agenda Committee. They would take over in case I should resign or not attend a meeting, which I don't foresee. And they would attend any designated meeting which I could not attend or that I would ask them to attend. I know Scott Grant has expressed interest, and I think he told me, I was up here at school, that he sent out a letter to most of us. I don't know how many were at home when he received it. So, Scott, I've got your name, and what I'm going to do is take any other, open the floor for any other nominations. I guess, first of all, point of order, I must have a second to the nomination of Scott Grant for Student Council Vice Chairperson. Okay, so his name's on the list. And now, is there anybody else who would be interested in being a Vice Chairperson? If not, we
you
were gonna
take- volunteer yourselves.
Yeah, you can volunteer yourselves.
Scott did.
Scott seems like a capable person, so we were going to have a ballot, but I think a show of hands would be sufficient. Can we everybody in favor of making Scott our new vice chairperson, please show their hands? Okay, I think you've got a majority, Scott. Great. Okay, well, that was quick, wasn't it? Terrific. Now we need to select an agenda committee. Then we've got myself who's on it, and now Scott, you're on the agenda committee. Congratulations. And we've got two representatives from the steering committee. We need is a college representative. And again, I'm taking volunteers if there are nominations. Anybody who would like to be on the agenda committee, you're going to, I'm sorry, Dan? Yeah, the agenda committee will meet approximately 2 weeks before the student council meetings, and we will gather information and actually set the agenda very similar to the yellow one right here. The topics which will be discussed, you know, the points that we go through the meeting. I don't see it as being a terribly time-consuming job, and it should be fun. It would actually give us your say in what we discussed at student council. So I'll open the floor to, again, nominations for Student Council Agenda Committee members. Okay, Betsy, correct?
Yes, I nominate Ann.
Okay, Ann, do you accept?
Yes, I do.
And we have a second?
Second.
Okay. And that was Ann?
Correct.
Peterson. Okay. Is there anyone else who's a college representative that would like to be on the agenda committee? If not, all those in favor, just say aye for Ann Peterson, I guess.
Can I do that as well?
I'm sorry? Yes, sir.
I'd be interested.
Would you? And your name is John Davis? Second for John Davis? Okay. Anybody else interested would like to nominate someone or themselves? Okay.
What do you think, Dr. Thurman? How should we work this? Or should we?
I can do it by voice phone. I've got paper back here if you want to do a paper ballot.
Okay. Can I ask Anne to make a, would they like to make a comment?
Sure,
would you like to make any comment about your interest in just being on the agenda committee? Anne, if you'd like to, if not, fine.
I represent
sounds good. John, is there anything you'd like to say here?
I represent the College of Social Science along with Pam, and I'd be interested in being on the agenda committee again once again to get involved.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Joy's going to pass around just the ballots, and if you could vote for either Ann Peterson or John Davis, just write down their name, and we'll take a quick straw vote. Might as well take advantage of this time. Let me give all of you my phone number, and I've got a private phone in my room, and it should have been connected 2 days ago. I've had problems with it, but I'm going to get an answering machine as well, and I would urge all of you, I'm going to make myself as available as I possibly can, and if I'm not there and you'd like to leave a message, anything you'd like to talk to me about concerning student council, or, you know, any personal problems. I'll give you my phone number, and this is a tentative. It should be 99% sure this is the number. You know, it's not connected, so they might change it. It's 351-5960. And hopefully that'll be in operation by noon today or an hour ago. Ann Peterson, you are on the Student Council Agenda Committee. Congratulations. Now we need to have a Council of Graduate Student Representative on the Agenda Committee. Again, open the floor for nominations. Anyone interested, you can nominate yourself. Who are we looking at? How many COGS people did you bring?
We have two today.
Did anybody express an interest in being on it?
Yeah.
Scott, will you... Jeff, are you interested?
Yes.
Okay. We need a second to the nomination. All right. Anybody else? Fine. We need a show of hands. All in favor of Jeff. Your last name, Jeff?
Wagner.
Jeff Wagner? Okay.
Wagner.
Okay. Still didn't get it. I'm sorry. we'll say Jeff.
Jeff Wagner.
Oh, that's what I thought I said. Okay. Jeff Wagner is approved. He's our COGS representative on Student Council Agenda Committee. And now we need an at-large representative. This is going to be the last person on the Agenda Committee. I think we have most of the at-large representatives here. Are any of you all interested? Open for nominations?
I'd like to nominate
Kendra White. Kendra? Okay. Second for Kendra White. All right. Is there anybody else at large representative interested? Okay, then I need a show of hands to approve Kendra White. That's good enough. And we've got our agenda committee set. Congratulations. I'll be in touch with all of you all very, very shortly. Why don't you stick around after the meeting and I'll just have a few words with you. Okay, and then now I would like to, if you remember Dr. June in the beginning talking about these standing committees, we've got a few openings on them. Again, it's a great place to get involved. First of all, we need a student council member, just any member, to serve on the university committee for academic governance. If anybody's, we don't even have to,
we don't need an election for this.
You just volunteer if you'd like. Anybody would like to serve on that? University Committee for Academic Governance. Yes, Guy.
Dr. June.
Yeah, the University Committee on Academic Governance is primarily a committee that consider bylaw changes and those kinds of things. So its major involvement is within the bylaws of the academic governance system, and also is heavily involved in the preparation of slates for various standing committees and other kinds of committees. There are other committees like advisory consulting committees. So it's primarily bylaws and preparing of slates for various kinds of committees. Those are the two primary functions.
Okay. Your name is?
It's Karen.
Okay, Karen. Is there anyone else besides Karen who would be interested? Okay, well, Karen, we can, I think, if you talk to Joy afterwards, we'll set you up on that. She knows a lot of the information. And now we need an at-large, it has to be an at-large representative from Student Council to serve on the University Committee for Student Affairs. And again, Dr. June, if you could briefly explain what that is.
I think I'll yield. I could, but this is, one of his major functions is to provide advice to the Vice President for Student Affairs, and it considers issues like changes in the Academic Freedom Report, but I'll ask the Vice President maybe to indicate some additional
things. There are a range of issues that obviously that have concern to students, and there are an awful lot of programs which are provided through the Office of the Vice President for Student Affairs, ranging from counseling to housing to intramural sports to activities, a whole range of things like that. Policies that affect the disciplinary activities of the university are also included. And so we share those with the Student Council, and the Student Council advises me as Vice President on those matters. But also, it is a very important body in that it brings issues to us, in that it represents many of those issues to the university through the Academic Council. It's a very active and a very important committee.
All right, thank you. Is there anyone interested, at-large representative? Is it
Christy.
Okay. Christy. Last name, Christy. Christy White. Okay. And now we need a college representative, any college representative to serve on the same committee. Okay. Is it Suzanne Spear? I'm sorry, Monica. Okay, and we need a student council member now for the honors program. Who would best be able to explain that? Dr. June again.
Well, it's not one of what they call the standing committees, but it is one of the what's called the advisory consultative committees. And its function is in the area that, you know, we have an honors college here, and there are certain issues that college deals with in terms of procedures and rules and regulations dealing with honors program. And so Don Lammers, who is the director of Honors College, meet plus various faculty members to discuss issues in that general arena.
Is there any honorable young man or woman who would like to be on the honors? a member from Student Council, anybody? Yes, and your name, sir?
Mike McKenzie.
Mike McKenzie, okay. Good enough. And the last slot we need to fill is it's the University Committee for General Education. I was the student council member, but due to a drastic scheduling conflict, there's absolutely no way I can make the meetings, which they are on Wednesday afternoons at about 3:00, approximately every other week. If you could say something about that.
I'll yield to Assistant Provost Hamilton, who sits with the committee, who could.
This committee has responsibility for policy relating to general education at the university. The recent policy change that was introduced and approved by council last year moved through the University Committee on General Education. It acts on all of these matters and refers its actions to either the University Committee on Academic Policy or the University Committee on Curriculum. It also has responsibility for approving all courses that units wish to propose as general education courses, and that in the past several years has been a substantial amount of its activity. Its activity over the next year will be approving all courses, groups of courses that departments, colleges, and schools wish to propose as substitutions in the area closest to the student's major. That will be the major activity over the next year, approving those courses and programs. They will also be doing some review, again, of general education policy statements and catalog and what have you. Committee will meet every Wednesday on Wednesdays from 3 to 5, 3:15 to 5 usually, in the boardroom of the administration building. And it's a good committee to be a member of because we talk about curricular issues. And generally when courses are discussed, for example, faculty are asked to come and describe the course, to share the materials that are going to be used in the course, the kinds of books that will be read and what have you. So it's usually quite interesting and relevant.
Okay, is there anyone who would be interested in playing a part in that committee? It can be any member of student council. Come on, there's got to be someone. Yes. And your name is?
Suzanne Spear.
Okay, you're Suzanne Spear. Okay.
What is your name?
I said I knew Suzanne, you were going to volunteer for something. That's just
Suzanne
premature. Spear. Okay, good enough. And let me give you now, Student Council really, we're based in the Secretary for Academic Governance Office. And that's, as Dr. Thurman said, in 308 Olds Hall. That's something you need to keep in mind. And I can vouch for everything he said about his secretaries, Julie and Joy. They're terrific and very, very helpful. The phone number there is 355. Y'all should write this down. Because 355-2337. And if you have any questions or whatever, if you want to get a hold of me or talk to the secretaries, we all can help you out. And that about takes care of it. I'm going to just stick around for a little while. If I could just briefly talk to the people on the agenda committee. Other than that, we're all done. Thank you for coming.